welcome to Data Science Perspectives. This series focuses on analytics and data science professionals from across industry to learn about how their career unfolded, what skills they look for when hiring, and what trends they think are coming next. I'm your host, Bill Franks. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of Data Science Perspectives. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Linda Birch of Birchworks Recruiting. I first met Linda, gosh, I hate to say it, but more than 20 years ago before she started her own company when she was a recruiter at another company that specializes in analytics and data science. Once she formed her own company, we've always kept in touch. She's actually helped me get a job in the past. She's helped me find members for my team. And her and I have even done some research together studying the market. She's one of the most connected people I know in the analytics and data science space because she's worked with so many of the large companies to fill their candidates. And then the people that are at various organizations working, many of them have gotten a job through her, or at least have talked to her in an organization about it. So she always knows what's happening in the market, who's hiring, what the skills they're looking for. And we're going to learn a lot about that today. Now, both she and her company have been featured in many press articles and a number of top recruiter lists over time, and I think we'll have some great insights from her. So with that, let's welcome Linda to the show. Well, hey, Linda, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here. Good to see you. You're looking great.
Thank you. Yeah, it's always good. I know you're always super busy, and I can't wait to hear. I know the recruiting space is probably going absolutely insane right now, so we'll talk a bit about that, and I think that'll all be good news for listeners here who are wondering, is the job market coming back? I guess for the first question, what's your feeling? Is this job market bouncing back as it relates to analytics and data science?
It's amazing, and I've been recruiting for, over 30 years. I don't even like to talk about that anymore, but I have never ever seen a market explode like this. And it's unprecedented. I've got clients that are calling me every day, multiple times a day with, 10, 15, 20 openings. I mean, again, I've never seen anything like it. It's exploding.
And how does that compare to about 8-9 months ago? Big turnaround, right?
Right. So, in May, in March, when things went on a shutdown, nobody knew what was going to happen. Every single job went on hold. And then things started to trickle back in May. The summer was reasonable. By the fourth quarter, it started to slow down again. But then January hit, last week in December, all of a sudden, we started getting calls and clients coming back and openings that they were moving against. And by mid-February, it was just a flood. It was like a dam burst. So it's nice.
Well, one thing is interesting. I guess I've known you probably more than 20 years at this point, from even before you started your own company, right? So. What led you initially? You focused on analytics and data science recruiting for so many years, and you're probably, the best known recruiter in this industry. How did you decide to focus on this? Because at the time that you did focus in this space, it wasn't out of favor by any stretch, but it wasn't a super hot space like it has become over the last decade. Right. So what got you into it in the first place?
Right. And I would say that it was kind of happenstance. I was working at Pepsi, but my background and training is in operations research and industrial engineering. So I knew a little bit about analytics and quant and supply chain and forecasting, et cetera, et cetera. And a friend introduced me to the owners of Smith Hanley. So I went, and they were looking for a recruiter, expanding their space. I was the number three recruiter there. From the very first day, I loved it. I loved it. Just everything about interacting with people and it's got a sales aspect to it because it's very metrics driven and learning about all kinds of businesses, not just one, was just so much fun for me. So I, from the very first day, I just, and to this day, I wish that that all of my candidates felt as excited as they as I do about my job, but they don't, and that's why they're talking to me. So,
Well,
but
hopefully they're.
you're right. I mean, when this started, operations research, nobody knew what that was. You know, marketing science, nobody knew what that was. You know, and so it has since become this huge, huge factor within organizations that's just sort of merely table stakes at this point. Every company needs to have a quantitative workforce in order to be effective and competitive in their field. So it's it's really, really exciting and very satisfying for me to have watched my people, who I've always thought were the smartest people in these corporations. I've always thought they should be running these companies, and now they are. So I'm really excited about that.
Well, that brings up one thing, is how things have changed. So I know when I first met you, you were probably largely recruiting for titles like statistician, predictive modeler, data miner. Obviously now you're looking for data scientists and data engineers, et cetera. But what have you kind of seen? What have been a couple of the biggest changes you've seen, not as much in the titles, but in the substance of what people are looking to recruit these days?
Right. And I'll tell you, you know, it's everything changed once it became easy to store data, right? So that changed the whole dynamic between the analytics professional and the information that they could glean. So all of a sudden, the whole idea of data science became a thing. And that was back 8 or 9 or 10 years ago now. But prior to that, people were pretty much working with data that was pretty structured, pretty organized. So they were statisticians or operations research people. But then, you know, once data, became, streaming, or, people started working with computer vision and natural language processing and IoT information, all of a sudden we were talking about an entirely different scale and size of the data sets that they're working with. And that's where data science started to come in. So it's an interesting combination of people who, at least in the early days, the unicorns that knew everything they needed to do to make the data usable. And then they would develop the predictive models and then put things into production. So they were doing all of those pieces. Well, now there's the data engineering function, which is, they'll get the data ready for the data scientist and then, of course, put it into production. So the data scientist is doing what they love most, which is developing the insights from the modeling work that they're doing. So that's a pretty substantial change. It's the kind of data that people are that people are working with now versus what they were working with even 15 years ago. So it's exciting. It's really exciting.
I gave a conference talk just yesterday at Predictive Analytics World about the changing roles in analytics and data science, and it's just exactly what you said. Instead of people like me trying to do everything, things are so complicated these days and scaled so high that one person really can't do it all anymore. And so we're developing now these teams that are working together, and it's pretty cool to see. Quite honestly, that means the whole community is also growing. So, you know, one thing, when you're recruiting, obviously at this point, you're like a talent scout in the sense that, for an athletic club, you know, you go out, you know when someone has talent. So as you look at resumes or you phone screen someone, what today gets, in terms of a skill or a trait about them, gets your attention to go, oh my gosh, I can place this person in a heartbeat. And on the flip side, then when you do present these clients to the companies, Are they matching with that? Like, what is it that companies are now saying, oh, I love that candidate because of, you know, this or that? What are those key traits today?
Yeah. You know what? I'll tell you, I think, you know, even after all these years of recruiting, it's hard for me to look at a resume and say, oh, this is a great candidate. I mean, I do know, because of my experience, I know some of the key groups out there that are doing really interesting work. Or I know when I see somebody who has progressed in a very deliberate way, not too many job changes, but enough that they're, you know, continuing to learn along the way. But it's really hard to tell just from a resume. And that's where the whole idea of AI coming in and reading resumes and figuring out where people go, you know, when it comes to data science, at least data scientists, it's a lot more, you got to go in deeper and really understand who that person is, how they are motivated, what they really want to do, why are they on the market, what are they looking for in their next opportunity, where is the culture match going to be? None of that's on a resume. So you really have to have that. And you know, with us at Birchworks, we develop these long-term relationships. So it's not about a transaction today or tomorrow. It's really about that relationship longer term. And when the right opportunity comes up, we then know who to go, you know, who to get involved with. Now, at the more junior ends, of course, we usually have a stable of candidates that we're working and a stable of clients that we're working with. Now, the clients is much bigger than the candidate base. But so in that case, you know, we can match and we can say, well, how about this? Or what do you think about this? Or how about this industry? And really talk through options and get candidates either, you could get a read for where they're going with it just by their level of excitement. In the particular application that we're talking about, the kind of business, the kind of industry, and so on. So, what was the second part of your question?
Just like, what is the trait from a company perspective? Like, what is the skill or trait that when they interview a candidate, they come back and go, "I love this person because," like, what is it that's getting employers' attention these days?
You know, that's really an interesting question because it really does depend on the client. But one common theme is that people want to make sure that the communication skills are there. So they want to make sure that the candidate can develop trust and develop a relationship with the business unit stakeholders. And you do that through solid communication skills, making sure that you can tell a story that is not overly technical to an audience that might not be able to follow that deep of a you know, technical discussion. And how do you communicate to them, gain their trust, and then you know, be able to implement some of the ideas or insights that you are gleaning from the data that you're working with. The other thing that I think my clients look for to some degree, and what they should be looking for, in my opinion, is the curiosity that a candidate has. You can gauge that by the kinds of questions a candidate asks about an application. And I tell my candidates, you know, really, when you're interviewing with a potential hiring authority, and I don't care how senior or junior the job is, the same thing holds true. You want to get into a conversation with them. You don't want it to be question, answer, question, answer. You want to be able to discuss with them your ideas and ask them for feedback and what they think. You know, get something out of the conversation too. Make sure you do your homework and understand the business problems that this company might be faced with and get into a discussion about that. You know, so it doesn't say, well, you know, how's your Python? You know, it's so much deeper than that. So,
No, that's an excellent point when I think about it. When I've in the past interviewed people, you're right. And the ones that you leave feeling really good about are those that you really just ended up having this great conversation as though you knew them for a while. The ones that you just ask a question, they answer, kind of like the teenager. So, are you good at programming? Yes. Are you interested in doing this kind of modeling? Yes, I am interested in that type of modeling. I mean, it's not, it that's, however qualified they may be on paper, to your point, it's the person who come in and explain, "Well, yeah, I have done a lot of that, and here's why I find it entertaining or interesting, and here's some interesting problems I've run into and how I solve them." Just having that discussion, I guess that's some great advice for people to think about is don't just answer the question, answer it and put some
That's
context
right.
around your experience.
And then maybe ask them a question back on that. I mean, what are your thoughts? Have you run into this problem before? How might this apply to your situation or your, you know, your problems, your business problems?
Well, so I know you screen people pretty heavily before you even let them get to an interview with one of your clients, right? That's part of what your job is. What is it that you see is a very common and basic mistake that your candidates make when they're interviewing that causes either the client to say, "We're not interested," or you to get annoyed with them, with how they handled the interview afterward when you hear how it went?
You know what? What doesn't work is a candidate that is will go that they're just interested in the money, or they're just interested in the title, and they're not really interested in a strategic career move, which people do. I mean, certainly money is a motivating factor that everybody needs to take into account, but it shouldn't be the primary factor in making a decision on making a job change. And then also title too. That's a huge mistake because titles do not match up across organizations, and you could be leaving something very, very interesting on the table just because it doesn't come with that VP title or it doesn't come with that, manager title that you're looking for as a next step. That doesn't work. So you need to probe more.
I can tell you, I resemble that comment. Early in my career, once I took a job for the title and pay, and that job is the shortest tenured
Oh,
job I ever had. It was
and
a
right?
it was just a bad fit
Exactly.
all around. I didn't fit their culture.
Right.
I didn't fit in there. Actually, some of the work was really fascinating, but the environment it was in, and I realized, wow, I won't do that again. But I
Right.
learned it the hard
Yeah.
way. I learned it the hard way, unfortunately. I wish I could
Right.
claim I was smart enough not
Well,
to.
yeah. And you know what? I will say that a lot of people make that mistake early on in their career. So, but that the senior level people I work with don't tend to do that, except for people that are maybe some of the tech community people are the startup people. Oh boy. But it's a different breed.
Well, so let's flip it around. What are the biggest mistakes that the companies you work with make when they are recruiting? So as they're talking to your candidates, are there mistakes that companies make that then turn those candidates off?
Yes. I would say that a candidate need, and especially in this market, a candidate needs to be sold. From the minute they show up, they need to be sold on your opportunity. And then the client has the opportunity to say, "No, you're not right." But what you don't want is the candidate walking away saying, "No, they aren't right." The client really needs to think about their delivery. And how they're going to hook and get candidates interested in their opportunity. Because candidates have friends and they have social media and they will tell everybody about their recruiting experience. And if it's a bad one, watch out. Your brand will really suffer as a result of that. I've had situations where clients forget to show up for an interview. Or they'll keep somebody waiting, or they'll reschedule it 3 times. That candidate is not going to say yes in the end. So those are huge, huge mistakes.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean,
And
if
not
they're,
moving fast enough either.
yeah, I mean, if you
You
if
know,
you're getting blown off for an interview for,
if
I'm sorry.
they see it, if a client sees a candidate they like, they need to know that they need to pull the trigger. Because they're not going to have a lot of time. Because within 2 or 3 weeks, that candidate will likely, in this market, will likely have other offers they're considering. So, so timing is absolutely critical in this market right now.
I think that point on selling your company is really, really key. It's interviews both directions, and it comes across. I've been in interviews in my past where it was obvious that the company felt it was such an honor for me to be interviewing with them that the entire interview was about me proving my worthiness to them. And it's like, yeah, sorry, it's got to go. It's got to go both ways. I've been turned off by that
Okay.
exact approach in the past.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
So let's go to the beginning end of the spectrum, right? We obviously here at KSU, we've got a lot of students at all degree levels getting ready for a career in analytics. Maybe they have some work experience in another field before they came back to school, but generally they're starting their career in analytics. What would be the biggest piece of advice you'd give a fresh graduate, whether they're undergrad, master's, PhD, if they're going to look for their first job out in this space, what should they be thinking about?
Yeah. This may be your first job, but you need to keep learning. Technology is never going to stop changing and growing. I mean, back in the day, it was SaaS was the primary game in town, and everybody knew SaaS, and now it's Python. But what is it going to be 5 years from now? And so you cannot let your skills get rusty. You need to keep learning. As technology grows and changes, you need to grow and change with it. Otherwise, you know, in 15 years, you will be, you know, on the market without any marketable skills. So just because you're through with school, you cannot be through with learning.
Yeah, speaking of learning, one thing you've done that's become very popular, and I think this is one of these things you build up over time that actually helped your firm grow so much because of the recognition it got, is you started doing various surveys on the tools being used, the methodologies, salaries and such in the space, and it gets, you know, huge distribution out there amongst the community. So the one specifically that kind of ties to, you said how hot the market is, probably one of your most popular surveys you do approximately once a year is your salary surveys. You know, what are people at different levels of experience and different title levels are earning? How are salaries trending today? Are they just back to where they were? Are they trending higher? What's the general market like from that perspective?
That's a great question. Our last salary study came out last summer. So that was for 2019. So we haven't, and our the end of our data collection time was at the end of April. So we're going to see a pretty clean look at whether or not the whole COVID disruption had any impact to salaries this year. So stay tuned. You'll see that in June, July timeframe. So I suspect that there'll be no significant change to the salaries this year. Just anecdotally, the candidates that went on the market, let's say they were working at a retailer, maybe they were at a hospitality firm that was really cutting back. I did not see them taking significant pay cuts or pay cuts of any kind, actually, to take a new job when they were offered new jobs. So I don't anticipate there's going to be any significant decrease. Now, where I think it's going to be really interesting is next year. So as we look back on what happens to compensation in 2021, I think that's where we're going to see some interesting changes in compensation upward. So,
well, anecdotally, I know it's a different space, but I can tell you, you know, when I, in my years of consulting and so forth, you know, you're always worried about the demand. You have to drive demand to get people to come and want your product or your services, and you can supply and match that demand in a number of ways. Well, at the university, back to how things are back, I mean, we're actually looking at the partnerships we do with our students and industry. You know, the bigger concern we have right now is how can we support this? We don't have enough students to go around to all the people that want to work with our students. And so, you know, I think that is just an early indicator. If they want students that badly, it's probably they also are wanting other people badly, and that doesn't tend to signal a big drop in salaries for sure, right? Well, how much they trend up or flat, I don't know exactly, but you know, the demand for at the student level even is much bigger than I had anticipated when I came to this point.
Right, and you know, that doesn't surprise me at all. I think it's just terrific. I do think you know, the demand is so high. And I am, in the last month, I've been hearing from many, many clients who are telling me that their attrition rate is higher than it has ever been. So there are organizations now that are actively poaching. And a lot of those are the tech organizations because it is now a remote, you know, people are really embracing the remote model now, not everybody, but most people. And so all of a sudden the California companies are have decided that they're going to start to recruit across the country, and they're able to do that now. And as a result, you know, a lot of these organizations, more traditional organizations, are having a very tough time keeping up with the salaries because they're not able to match what's going on in the tech community. So,
well, before we run out of time, I'll just throw you one more question. As you look around what people are asking you for and how people's skills are changing, as you look at all these resumes, you know, 3-5 years down the road, what's one of the trends you see coming that you think is going to, you know, further disrupt and or change the space that we all work in?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know. But I think, when I think about what candidates will be looking for, let's say 3 to 5 years from now, I do think that there's going to be a change in the kind of work they're looking to do. I'm already hearing about candidates who are like, you know what? I want to do something that's more mission driven. I want to do something that's going to help society. So, I think the whole, everything related to social media and targeted advertising, and that, really fueled a lot of the hiring, 8, 9, 10 years ago, in the data science community. I think that's going to start to settle down, and I think a lot more people are going to go into, genetic analytics or in healthcare analytics, or they may be going to not-for-profit organizations or using their quantitative skills to figure out, substantial societal problems, as opposed to just, making the decision to go, work for Facebook or whoever. So, I welcome that. I think that's going to be a great change for everybody.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think we're just about out of time here. So I want to thank you so much for your time. As always, I always love talking with you. There's always so much to talk about. And
It's always fun. Thank you. Thank you so much, Phil. This is great. This is great.
okay.